Welcome to our worship on this, the sixth Sunday of Easter, May 17th, 2020. We are at Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Welcome to our worship as we gather for this pre-recorded time together. We are sheltered in place, but we continue the celebration of the risen Christ. We're especially thankful today to have Maggie Wirth playing the organ, Kevin Boatwright, and Jim and Sandy Cooper being our worship assistants. We join now in confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We pause now for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. We join together now in our gathering hymn, ELW 804, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join now in singing This is the Feast. It's on page 140 of Evangelical Lutheran Worship. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all of your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading is in Acts, the 17th chapter. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard. Tried us just as silver is tried. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. Those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. Listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me. Bless our God, you peoples, let the sound of praise be heard.
The second reading is in 1 Peter, the third chapter. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, Those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteousness, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
We continue now with the gospel acclamation found on page 142 of Evangelical Lutheran Worship. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. When I was in junior high school and high school, one of my passions, along with baseball, reading and fishing, was playing the trumpet. I wanted to be good, but never really was better than average at best. I loved the music. I practiced and I tried, and I could never make it past what I call the B level. So each year, I would choose a piece for our local and regional competition. I would practice and memorize and try to sharpen my understanding of the notes, but I never got to that next level. And along the way, I learned a very valuable lesson about accompanists. During my 4 years of competition, I had the most marvelous accompanist, and her name was Mrs. Samuelson. I know she had a first name, but I never knew what it was. We would practice, and she would patiently advise me about tempos and intonation. We would go over and over the music until I heard it in my head being played the right way. I struggled with the metronome, and she would smile and say, "Let's try that phrase again." When we went to competition, she would accompany me along with others, but I always thought she had to work hardest with me and for me. Maybe I thought that I was a special case because each year, somehow, I would lose my place in the flow of the piece, not for long, but a measure or two, and she would cover for me, and I would find my place again, and we would finish on the same page. She was an artist at being an accompanist. I knew in my heart of hearts that the seconds I received in the contests were less about me and more about her skills to cover my mistakes. Each year at Christmas, I would buy a box of chocolates, walk the mile or so to her house to deliver them, along with a note in a Christmas card thanking her. Mrs. Samuelson taught me the need to have a good accompanist. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about sending us an advocate, an accompanist, who will be with us on the journey. Hear those words again. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, and you know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. We Lutherans always struggle with the Holy Spirit. We love the image of God as Creator. We love Jesus. We love Jesus lying in a manger wrapped in those incredible swaddling clothes. We love Jesus as a prophet, and we love Jesus as Messiah on a cross living out his life for us. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we struggle. I've often wondered if it's a hangover from the designation of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost, that somehow in the cultural transformations, do we think that the Holy Spirit is just some sort of specter haunting us, something which is scary and over which we have no control? Lots of preachers, lots of Lutheran preachers, shy away from the Holy Spirit in their sermons. We, or they, are not quite sure what to do with the old Holy Spirit. Secretly, I think that pastors are afraid that if they get too close to the Holy Spirit will reach out and grab them. But in reality, the Holy Spirit is our advocate and our accompanist in everyday life. Luther used to say that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are present in every activity of the church. In baptism, obviously, we baptize in the name of the Holy Trinity, but the Trinity is also present in communion, in preaching, in reading Scripture, in prayer, in acts of kindness, in feeding the poor, and in every action of our daily life. The Holy Spirit is and always will be present in the ordinary, making those ordinary, mundane things we do truly extraordinary. A story. One of the members of the convening council of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was a wonderful theologian, a longtime active lay member of the Lutheran Church. She was insightful and creative and possessed a sense of wisdom that was truly mesmerizing. Her name was Marge Lagarde. She lived in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and as a layperson with no formal theological training, Marge traveled the country talking about the church and talking about what being the church really was. I was in one of those conferences, and Marge was the headline speaker. And in one of her presentations, she told this story. Now, Marge passed away a few years ago, so Marge, if you're listening, let me know if I make a mistake and feel free to interrupt. One day, as so often happens, without warning, Marge and her husband received word that the next-door neighbor had died. So as often happens in rural America, Marge picked up and went down the road to the next farm and called on the woman who had just lost her husband. Now, this may surprise you, but even though they were neighbors, they were not that close, and one of the reasons that they were not that close is they attended different Lutheran churches. You see, Marge was a member of the old American Lutheran Church, and her neighbor was Missouri Synod. But in spite of that, not being close, Marge went and sat, and soon the pastor of her neighbor came. He was new to the church, hadn't been in town very long. He did not know the family very well, and he was awkward and hesitant. He had a prayer, and then he sort of fled to the kitchen and started dealing with the food that was being brought by friends and neighbors, the endless numbers of casseroles and cakes and pies. So the young pastor made a pot of coffee. He poured coffee. He sliced cake and offered it to the visitors. He washed coffee cups. He stayed in the kitchen for several hours, and then he bid the widow good night. Marge stayed, and finally a cousin arrived, and Marge went home. A couple of days later, after the funeral, the young pastor came and sat down to next to Marge, and after a moment or two, after all, they were different kinds of Lutherans, but he felt he could trust this wonderful woman. And he said to Marge, "I feel like such a failure. I didn't do any of the things that I should have done. None of the things I did were right when her husband died. All I did was serve coffee and wash dishes and cut cake. I didn't do anything that pastors are supposed to do." And the young pastor almost had tears in his eyes. As Marge told this story to this gathering of 400 or 500 people, she said, "And what I told him was that he did everything right. You see, she recalled, telling the young pastor, you were there. You accompanied her in her grief. You did the ordinary things that needed to be done. You were, for all of those hours, part of the presence of God in her life." Paul preaches one of the longest sermons ever that Paul ever preached in the section of Acts that was read a little while ago. In that sermon, he says, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as known, or unknown rather, this I proclaim to you." And Paul declares that the unknown God is made known in Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson tells us that we are accompanied by an advocate who is made known in the deepest spiritual sense in us. Hear those words again. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." The Holy Spirit is given to us for a purpose. The Holy Spirit is our accompanist for daily life. Caroline Lewis, in her commentary on today's gospel, writes, "Accompaniment is not simply having someone beside you. Accompaniment is not a mere ministry of presence. Accompaniment means active and assertive abiding, an abiding that enters into places of fear and discomfort and uncertainty and troubled hearts and speaks the truth freely. The truth we speak is the truth of the Holy Spirit, and that truth is that God is present in this moment. That's who and what the church is in times like these, surrounded by pandemic and fear and hopelessness. That is who we are in times like this, people of God, led by God to speak the words of God's presence." The young pastor who washed dishes and sliced cake, abided with a woman who'd lost her husband of over 50 years. That's what it means to be an accompanist. Caroline Lewis makes one more observation that I want to share, again from her commentary for this week's gospel lesson. into troubled hearts and heart-wrenching questions, into abandonment and loss, into despair and grief, is assured another advocate, the Spirit who walks alongside us everywhere and always. That is how the unknown God is made known. That is how, when we feel God is far away, God comes close, and the advocate in each of us accompanies each of us and those in need. The Holy Spirit in each of us reaches out to the other and reveals to the other the presence of God. Amen. And now we join together as we sing our hymn of the day, ELW 631, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you. Let's go to the Nicene Creed, please, in the ELW, page 104. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He is ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Abiding God, you've revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. You are the creator of heaven and earth. Revitalize the health of oceans, rivers, lakes, springs, glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to your creatures. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. You call all people of the world your children. Join the nations justly, judge the nations justly, show mercy to the oppressed, and speak truth to power through your prophets. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to take hold of our baptismal promises, to work for justice, advocate for the voiceless, and free the oppressed and imprisoned in body, mind, or spirit. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who've gone before us. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
At Trinity Lutheran Church, at this point in our liturgy, we exchange the peace, and when we were gathered together as a community of faith, over 100 strong, we would move around and we would shake lots of hands, and some of us would hug, and some of us would smile and wish each other well and say those words, "The peace of Christ be with you always." And as we did that, the community formed a bond and cared about itself in a unique and special way. And now we are sheltered in place. We cannot do that. But wherever we are, I want you to think about the way in which you've shared the peace in the past, and think about how you might share the peace with someone you are currently with. So at this point, we share God's peace and hear the words, "The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you." We continue now with the communion liturgy and the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. And we remember, Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beyond the sea, within each cell, with every breath. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water by day and by night, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. And so with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And as we are gathered at home with family or friends or by ourselves, let us now at this point take some bread and some wine or some grape juice or some water and prepare to receive these gifts later in our liturgy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now these gifts of bread and wine given and shed for us, these are the gifts of God for us, the people of God. And as we receive them, remember that all are welcome at the Lord's table. We join now in singing Lamb of God on page 146 of Evangelical Lutheran Worship. We now join together in singing our first communion hymn. It is hymn 708 from Evangelical Lutheran Worship. It's Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. It's a delightful hymn. Listen to the words as you sing them. And now please take the bread, and if you're going to commune someone, share that bread first by your giving it to someone else, saying, "Take and eat the body of Christ." And once they have taken it, have them share it with you and all of the other family members that are there. The body of Christ given for us. And now take the wine or the grape juice or the water and begin sharing it with those who are with you, or if you are by yourself, take it by yourself and say the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." These are God's gifts for us. And now we join together in singing a wonderful hymn, ELW 642, Ubi Caritas et Amor, where true charity and love abide. Now this hymn is written in both Latin and English. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing a Latin verse and an English verse, a Latin verse and an English verse, a Latin verse and an English verse, until we've done it five times. Ubi caritas et amor. Let us pray. Life-giving God, you have fed us with your word, and our hearts burn within us. Through this meal, you have opened us to your presence. Now send us forth to share the gifts of Easter with all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise each of us to new life, fill us with hope, and turn our mourning into dancing. Now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us now and forever. Amen. Our concluding hymn today is ELW 389, Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing.
Christ is risen, just as he said. Go in peace and share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
That's a wrap, folks.